Hey, I want you to stand with me. We're going to read from the book of Daniel this morning as we end this series, at least for now. Daniel's a great book, and we've been going on a journey of a series called Rebels with a Cause. Daniel is a 12-chapter book, the first six chapters are the historical chapters. We're going to end that today as we read Daniel chapter 6. So here it is. You ready? Daniel 6, 1 through 4. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy, neither corrupt nor negligent. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, again, we've left our homes. We woke up this morning and decided to come here this morning. We come to this house, the house of the Lord, a place of gathering, of assembly, of synagogue, of church. We come, Lord, we assemble, we gather to meet with God. We pray, Lord God, that you would meet us here this morning. Truly, your presence is here. Truly, you inhabit and dwell within the praises of your people. Truly, the eyes of the Lord are on this place. The Good Shepherd is with us. And you, God, are intimately acquainted with all of us. And you know us all by name. And you love us individually and collectively as a church. We welcome you and honor you and praise your name this morning. I ask, Jesus, that you would open our eyes this morning that we could see spiritual things. I pray, Lord, that you would touch our ears, that you would allow us to hear the voice of God this morning, and that this would be done not for the glory of man, but always for the glory of God. We pray in Jesus' name. And all those who love God would say what? Amen. Y'all may be seated. Okay, and as you're being seated, we're going to play a little game this morning. Oh, and the children are allowed to be leaving. So if the children want to go, dude, I'm out of here, this is your chance, okay? Thank you, Pastor Vince. See, I'm a little messed up. See, did you know that tomorrow or yesterday was my 28th wedding anniversary? Yeah, it's pretty cool. And you know what's amazing about that? We still like each other after 28 years. It's just so cool. So, okay, a game this morning. I'm going to say three words, and as I say these three words, I want you to quietly think in your mind, what are the first three words that comes to your mind when I say these words? What thoughts comes to your mind when I say these words? Quietly, you're going to think this through, but you're going to record them. Here's the first word. Are you ready? Yeah. Congress. Okay, wait. You got it? Okay, next. Here it comes. Politician. Okay, no, quiet now, right? Think about it. Here comes the third word. What quietly comes to your thought when I say this word? Government. Ooh, right? Did anyone have the first word be trustworthy? Not negligent. No? Not corrupt. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? When we think of people that we elect in this country, we get to elect them, that we can't think of the word, the first thing would pop into trustworthy or not negligent or not corrupt. Isn't that sad? There are good politicians in this country, and we need more of them, and we need to pray for them. A year ago this time, we as Americans had to elect a president, and I wasn't too excited about other candidate. Can I just be open and honest? I wasn't too excited about really any of them. But I did like one guy, and his name is Mike Pence. I was excited about Mike Pence, and here's the deal. No matter what you believe about his politics, he's a Christian man, Mike Pence. His belief in Jesus governs his actions. It was brought up last year in the election that he had a principle. Now, this was his principle. This was his personal conviction to never dine alone with a woman or to go to a party where there's alcohol present without his wife. Do you remember this? So last year, about this time, he was made fun of in the media that he's prudish, that he's old-fashioned. They made fun of his convictions, and it was called at the time the Pence Principle. This was a year ago. Does anyone remember this? But they're not laughing now, are they? As we have seen in Hollywood, in politics, and in the media, the avalanche of accusations and truths behind sexual harassment permeating all through our society within this last year, they've quit making fun of him and his personal convictions of Christ. Last year when I was voting, and I wasn't really excited about it, but I always thought, if Trump gets elected, at least Mike Pence will have the ear of the king, or shall I say the ear of the president. If this man got elected, at least a Christian man would have the ear of the president. That's what the book of Daniel's about. For these last weeks, we've been studying a series called Rebel with a Cause. And we've been studying the book of Daniel. It's the Old Testament book of Daniel. Jesus refers to Daniel in his ministry. And he actually says that a lot of his prophecies of his life, it was prophesied by Daniel. Daniel lived 600 years before Jesus was born. And Daniel is a unique individual. See, here's the story. If you read the Bible is about a God that created human beings and how God chooses to reveal himself through a people, the Jewish people. When you read on the banners, on the walls, it's a story. God says that through Abraham, a person or an individual would come that would bless all peoples of the earth. And that individual is Christ. He's a Messiah, the anointed one. And we now know his name, Yeshua, or Jesus. We read in the Old Testament there, God's people at times blew him off. And God at times judged his people. And what happens in the story of Daniel is God's people had so blown him off that God removed his hand of protection around his people, and other armies, other nations invaded and captured the city of Jerusalem, the temple in Jerusalem, the people of Jerusalem, took them as slaves throughout the Babylonian Empire and then the Persian Empire. And Daniel was one of these little, he was a teenage kid who was taken from Jerusalem. His family was of nobility, traveled as a refugee to the land of Babylon with Nebuchadnezzar. And there as a teen, he was put into basically being conformed into Babylonian ways and being brought up in nobility that maybe someday he could be used by the king to influence his people. And Daniel is a young little kid. We read this in the book. He chooses to stand with God, to be a rebel for God in a foreign land. And when he was given new names, that was cool, but he wasn't going to worship the Babylonian gods. He was going to stay true to his God. So Daniel's a rebel, and so are his friends. And the book of Daniel is a story about these rebels making a stand for God, and in the process, God using their faithfulness to get the ear of the kings that ruled over his people. See, the kings didn't really love God or believe in God, but God made sure that he put people to have the ear of the kings so he could speak to these people. And that's what Daniel's about. And it's interesting, when Daniel made a stand for God, we read this in the first chapter in review. When God sees that these young kids are going to be a rebel, God bless our youth ministry. God bless what's happening right now in the children's ministry and the youth ministry. When God can make a rebel of a young man or a young woman, they'll rock the world. It says this, God blesses them with special abilities because they stand for him. It says in Daniel 1, 17 through 21, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding. Can you imagine that there's a supernatural empowerment of God to have knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kind. And at the end of the time set by the king, this is King Nebuchadnezzar, to bring them into his service, the chief of officials presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, or Hananiah, or Mishael, or Azariah, so that they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them to have 10 times better than all the magicians, the enchanters in his whole country. And Daniel, this is a great verse, and Daniel remained there until the first year of Cyrus the king. Daniel begins his ministry in politics when he's a teenager, and he ends with the second Persian emperor, Cyrus. And that was his lifespan of about 85 years. That's what we read. And that's cool. From these special blessings that God endows Daniel and these people with, he makes sure to have the ear to the king, to both the Babylonian Empire and to the Medo-Persian Empire. And these are the nations that rule over his people, the Jewish people, and over the city of Jerusalem, and over the temple in Jerusalem. As we open the sixth chapter this morning, the Babylonians have been defeated. That was last week, guys, remember? If you were here, there's a new government. There's a new sheriff in town, right? There's a new government. And there are new people in power in the Middle East. And King Darius, the first kings of the Medo-Persian Empire, is in the process of appointing administrators over the territory won from the Babylonians. And Daniel, who's in his late 70s again, maybe early 80s, he's discovered. And it makes you wonder, well, how was he discovered? Did the King Darius find out about Daniel being a prophet and predicting the fall of the Babylonian Empire and that happens? Did he hear about how Daniel has the special abilities of dreams and visions? Did he hear that this man has just had an amazing legacy in the Babylonian in government? Or did he just come to power because the guy was just a career politician who does a good job? And he was just, we don't know, but he's appointed. And as he's appointed, he starts rising in government, right? So much so that as he's rising in government, people are looking at him, and he's just standing out as the star. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, right? With three administrators over these 120, one of whom was Daniel. How did he get him? We don't know, but it just happened. The satraps made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. This is all government. The king doesn't want to suffer loss in his new kingdom. Daniel so distinguishes himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that God gave him that the king planned to set him over the whole deal. And we find out that this doesn't sit well with all the other people that are in government. In this new administration, others are jealous of his advancement, and they want to take Daniel down, but they can't. People, he's flawless as a politician. There's no corruption in this guy, and they want to find it. There's no stealing with this guy. There's no lying with this guy. There's no cheating with this guy. There's no sexual harassment with this guy. They can't find anything. Can you imagine what that must be like? And on top of all that, he's doing the job better than all them, and they don't like this, and they can't touch him. But in their investigations, they find out the core of who this man is. He's a godly man. And they say the only way we could ever touch Daniel is to come at him through his faith in God. And it says this in Daniel 6, 5 through 9. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever." The royal administrators, the prefects, the satraps, the advisors, and the governors, notice this, have all agreed this is a lie. Daniel didn't agree to any of it. It's all done behind his back. But they come to the king and they say, "We've all signed off on this, that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days except you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius puts the decree in writing, right? Daniel knows nothing about this. They all say that he signed off on it. It's not true. So when Daniel hears this, can you guys guess what he's going to do? What would you do? When Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went into his home, to his upstairs room, where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed. This is his custom. Giving thanks to God, just as he has always done before. Do you guys do that? Do you take time to praise and give thanks to God? Do you ever stop and think about your life and how the good blessings of God? Have you ever just stopped and said, "God, I want to give you praise for this day"? Daniel does this 3 times a day. But it also says that he's coming before the Lord because he wants to seek counsel. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying, asking God for people, what? Help. Do you ever ask God for help? Interesting. So every 2 years, Pastor Frank takes a group of people to the land of Jesus, and I get to do that this next March. The best and the most safest airline in the world to fly is called El Al. It's the Israeli airline. Don't mess with the Israeli people. And the Israeli airline, I remember the first time I flew El Al, I had to bust out to it at the tarmac and go up it, and they are serious. Great security on Israeli airlines. It's interesting when you fly El Al, because as you're flying toward there, you'll be sitting around a group of mostly Jewish people. And it was such a trip to sit there and watch religious Jews get up 3 times a day, and they figure out where east is, because we're heading from LAX to Israel, and they find out where Jerusalem is, and then they pray by the airplane, by the bathrooms. They put their prayer shawl on, and they start kneeling. They got to find out where Jerusalem is, and then they pray, and there they are. And people go, "Pastor Frank, what's that?" I'll tell you later. What is that? Don't stare. You know, hey, Jerusalem. Hey, guys, last week President Trump did something crazy. He declared what has historically been true for millennia. Jerusalem has always been the heart of the religious and the governance of the Jewish people. FYI, it's historical, it's true. And all he did was say, "Hey, this has been it's a forever truth." And people are angry. Well, that's fine. Jerusalem people, Daniel's day. He was there as a kid. He was taken from there as a refugee. That's where the temple of the Lord is. It's the city of God, the city of the Messiah coming again. And Daniel prays toward Jerusalem. And he's doing it now. 600 years before Jesus was born. For you and I as a New Testament saint, do we pray toward Jerusalem? Answer? No. Why? Because Jesus came. And he says, one day, it's in John chapter 4, Jesus speaking to this woman at the well. It's not in Jerusalem, it's not in this mountain, but a day is coming now is where true worshipers will worship God in spirit and truth. I worship toward heaven and toward where Messiah is. Jesus teaches us this. People that don't believe in Yeshua or Jesus as Messiah, they still pray toward Jerusalem. I get it. Do you get it? I get it. I understand. He's praying toward Jerusalem. He's busted for it. He's busted for it. Daniel's in big trouble for it. 600 years before Jesus is born, Daniel prays toward Jerusalem. And the king finds out about it. And when the king finds out about it, he's not upset with Daniel. He's upset with all the people around him that's lied to him. Listen to this. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, Majesty, or to the decree that you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined, notice this, to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. The king is distressed in that he thought Daniel signed up on this, right? He's distressed that I have all these administrators, they're lying to me as king. He's a little upset. He's a little upset that he's now got to kill his best employee. Would you be upset? And maybe he's a little upset going, hey, I've heard the stories about Daniel and his God, and the last thing I want as the new king is to have his God mad at me. Right? He's a little upset. And so he tries to save him, but he can't, because once a law is written in the Medo-Persian Empire and signed, it's done. Even the king can't change it. The king's stuck. He can't undo it. Daniel 6, 16 through 18. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel, and they threw him into a lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you continually serve, rescue you. Sounds like he's heard the stories, doesn't it? A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. He can't get out. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating, without any entertainment being brought to him, and he couldn't sleep the whole night. I've been trying to imagine all this week what it must have been like for Daniel in the cave. And here's a cool picture. I just kind of like this one. No, give me the other one. Number two, that one. Can you imagine? Okay, so you're being brought into a cave, right? You're being lowered down. Maybe into this kid, and you see there's Simba, and there's Mustafa, and there's, and you're being lowered down this thing, and you're just, how would you feel? A little, maybe, would you be a little nervous? Yeah, right? How's he doing? And then, people, once he's down there, and there's been no frontal assault, there's a lid put over it, and it's dark. You could hear him, the lions. You could hear him breathing, walking around you, sniffing at you maybe. And there he is in the dark all night long. How would you do? What was he thinking? I'm sure that times like this, you reflect on your spiritual journey. Amen? And Daniel can just sit there in that cave and go, God has been faithful and watched over me, A, B, C, D, E, F. I've seen God do miracles and signs and wonders, and I'm sitting in this cave. I wonder who had a better night's sleep that night. Did Daniel have a better night's sleep, or did the king? Yeah. At first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. And when he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice. He's a little nervous. The king. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you continually serve, been able? Is your God able to rescue you from the lions? What a test for this new king. and God. Does the God of the Hebrews really exist? Is all this stuff that I've heard just superstition? Would God preserve his faithful servant? And if anyone deserves to be preserved, it's Daniel. I mean, this guy's putting his life on the line worshiping God. So he calls out. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lion's den? Yep. Daniel, servant of the living God. Yep. Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent an angel and shut the mouth of the lions. And they have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, in God's sight. Nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, your majesty. Do you notice he's not a jerk? Daniel's not a wimp. He's not a jerk. He's loving first. He's leading second. He's a great rebel. He's an effective rebel for God. People, rebels for God cannot be wimpy. Rebels for God can't be jerks. No jerks for Jesus. Amen. Don't be a jerk with your faith. You love people first. You lead people second. And you always do both. And the best example of this is Jesus himself. Daniel is just beautiful all the way through when you study this man. What an effective rebel. He's a rebel in the Babylonian Empire, and now he's going to be an effective rebel in the Medo-Persian Empire. Do you think Daniel slept well in the lion's den? Would you sleep well in the lion's den if there was a guy like this that was kind of watching over you? An angel came. Would you sleep well if this guy had your back? Anyone? I think Daniel slept like a baby. Oh, there's a lion. Oh, hey, you got this. Okay, I'm back. An angel. You know, the scripture says that God has his angels watching over you and me. I believe someday, I can't wait someday when I get to heaven, because I think once I'm there 10,000 years and so excited, I think I'm going to see some angelic, beautiful being just keeps grinning at me, and I'm going to keep looking at him, and he's going to come up and say, I need to tell you about what really happened in your life. Do you remember this? Yeah, well, this is what really happened. And you remember this? And this is what God has angels charge over you and me, watching over us, his messengers, his servants. Daniel got to see his, and he was like, my angel just shut down everybody down. Hey, king, I'm doing really well. They bring out Daniel. There's not even a scratch on the guy. It's a miracle. So you know what the king does? Go get all the dudes that lied to me and bring them here. And by the way, bring their families. And they threw them all in the lion's den. A little overkill, don't you think? And it says that the lions were rewarded because they had a meal like you wouldn't believe. And then it says this as we end Daniel chapter 6. So imagine if you're a king and you just saw this. It says, then King Darius wrote to all the nations and people of every language in all the earth that he governed. And he writes to his people, it's like a greeting from the king, may you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. God rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. P.S. He's rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. And so Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Do you see who now has the ear to the king? Do you see how God once again is glorified through Daniel's life? What do you all think of Daniel chapter 6? What do you think about the person of Daniel? You've met Daniel. If you've been a part of this series and you missed a week, go online. You can watch it. You met Daniel when he's a little kid, and now you've met Daniel in this. He's in his 80s. You've got to see his whole journey. What do you think of Daniel? What's your impressions? Young man to an old man, and he's a person of integrity. He's a person of truth. He's a person of incredible abilities, and you can't find anything in his government career. Solid man. See, people, next year we're going to be celebrating Christmas. And as Messiah was born, there was wise men that came from the east because they saw the star and they knew of the coming of the Jewish king. And 700 years after Daniel had lived in the east, people came to worship Jesus. How did they know? They knew because of people like Daniel and the impact that God had on these peoples 600 years before. That's how the wise men from the east knew. The story of God ripples, not just around Jerusalem, but all the way out to where people notice. Can I challenge you and me? It's Christmas time. You guys, can I? I'd love to challenge you to be a Daniel. Can I just throw it out there? How would you like to all be a Daniel? How would you like to be a person that is just a rebel for Jesus in the 21st century? A rebel with a cause. Daniel was a rebel with a cause. He was a rebel pushing back against the Babylonian or the Persian cultures that pushed against his God, and he would push back. He wasn't a wimp about it. He wasn't a jerk about it. He was loving, but he would lead. Daniel was a man, he was an alien in another country who lives for God, and he was a rebel against that, and his cause was another kingdom. And he was effective. Jesus says that you and I are in this world, but we're not of this world. Jesus says that he was a rebel in this world. Jesus says that he was in this world and not of this world. Jesus constantly pushed back against. Jesus was a rebel in his day. And all those who are effective for following Christ are rebels, and they make a difference. And they're willing to take a stand. If you'd like to dare to be a Daniel this morning, there's a few things you got to know about it. And take notes on this. Are you ready? If you dare to be a Daniel, it starts with an inner conviction. And this is the most important thing. What do you really believe about God? And will you follow him? To be a Christian, not of convenience, but a Christian of conviction, as Billy Graham would say. A time when you cross the line of belief, where you personally in your heart say, this is where I stand. For God so loves the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believeth upon him, that's a faithing action word. Hey, if you want to live for God, it starts with an inner conviction. What do you really believe? What do you really believe? Just between you and God. What do you really care about? What is God to you? Do you know, I was dating this girl named Cinda Harwood. She was cute. She still is. There was a day, and I remember, I'll never forget this day. I was washing my car, and my dad was there with me, and he was washing his car, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, you know, Dad, I stopped, I looked over at him, I said, I think I'm going to ask Cinda to marry me. And my dad didn't even look, he just kept washing his car, and he goes, I don't think that'd be that bad of an idea, young man. That was the day when I stood and say, this one's my wife. I take a stand. My son, I begged him not to join the army. He joined anyway behind my back. Okay, young man, there he is now. He's, he crossed the line. With you and Jesus, have you ever stepped over the line of faith from convenience to conviction when you just say, this is it, I stand here. Daniel did this. I will not leave my God. In the first chapter, Daniel is a man of conviction. This is where I stand with God, and let the chips fall where they may. If you can't do this, you will never be a Daniel. Do you understand? If you want to be a Daniel, it starts with an inner conviction, and you've crossed the line. I'm going to marry God, and I'm never going to be unfaithful to him. And he'll never be unfaithful to me. And this is where I stand. When did you determine in your heart to make this stand? Have you made it yet? People, to be a Daniel, the conviction has to turn to outer action. And if it doesn't, it's not true. This is who I am, and this is what I believe, and I don't care who sees it. The Pence principle, right? Hey, guys, I'm in government. I understand that. This is what I believe, and I don't care who sees it. This is where I stand. Go ahead and make fun. Throw me in a lion's den. I'm not back in. This is where I stand. It's a conviction that turns into action. I'm not eating that food. We're not bowing to that idol. I'm not going to stop praying to God if you say it's illegal. Then throw me in the lion's den. Belief affects behavior, people. And if it doesn't, it's not real belief. Do you understand? Are you with me? C.S. Lewis, the greatest Christian thinker of the 20th century, said this about integrity. Integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching. That comes from inner conviction. This is who I am. Deal with it. If you want to be a rebel for God, it's not outward, it's inward. It starts in. It's you and Jesus. And then it rolls out to how you live and how you choose to behave because of Christ. And people, God is watching, FYI. God is watching, right? That was the message of Daniel 5. God sees, and he'll write on the walls of our lives. Our days are all numbered. Our days are measured. And our kingdoms are temporary. That's last week. God is watching. Write this down. As a Daniel, when you stand for God, people, God will stand for you. It's true. God is powerfully protecting Daniel because of his godliness, because of his inner convictions. And God does amazing things when we walk with him and when we do the right thing. He meets us there. I've noticed that God doesn't powerfully work in people of compromise, but he's looking for people that are just going to stand. These are the ones. Can write this down. As a Daniel, when we're faithful to God, we're a witness to the world. From inner to outer, inner conviction, actions, you stand, God stands with you, and you're a witness to the world. How you choose to live your life, people watch and people see. So, man, I can't. No matter what you think of Mike Pence and his politics, he's a man that is definitely a light. He's a rebel in government in the 21st century in the United States of America. No matter what, he's a Christian man. And there's Christian men in the Democratic Party too, and women. God bless, if they would just stand for the Lord, be a rebel. If you're a rebel, people, God will use you to be a witness to others. Have you all been thrown into the lion's den for your faith? In your spiritual journey, have there been people that's been a little upset with you because you say the name of Christ or proclaim the name of Christ, or they find out, that one's a Christian. It's right now a bunch of football's being played. When my wife and I was first married, I was working at a church in Mission Viejo, and I was running their college group, and there was a football player for the Rams at the time. He was their center. And he said, well, if you want to start a college group, you can use my house. And his name was Doug Smith. He was the center for the Rams, Los Angeles Rams, for 14 years. And he was the one Christian. Everybody made fun of him. And we would hear his stories every week. They would, he would walk in, and there'd be a group. A bunch of guys would be talking about girls they slept with or this or that. And Smitty came in. Oh, you better clean it up. Smitty came in. You better clean it up. They'd make fun of him. He took a stand, him and his wife. And they'd make fun of him in the locker room of the L.A. Rams. And he was okay with that. He said, Frank, I would go to the Pro Bowls and we'd be in Hawaii. He goes, I'd be out there being in the pool playing with kids. My kids jumping on my back in the pool. And other players' kids would be jumping on my back. But the other players aren't in the pool playing with their kids because they're out doing whatever else. He goes, their just priorities are different. They're lost. They don't know Christ. But I do. And the wives would sit there and talk to his wife, Debbie, because they'd find out that their husbands had an affair with this one or with this one or with this one. And they'd come crying to Debbie because she's the Christian, you see. The coach of the Rams was a guy named John Robinson, who made big fun of Doug. But when John Robinson left the L.A. Rams and got a job as the coach for the USC, and Doug was retiring, guess who he asked to go coach with him at USC? The Christian that he made fun of. And Doug was floored. It was a Friday. He goes, you won't believe what just happened to me. John just asked me if I wanted to be his offensive line coach at USC. He goes, I didn't think the guy liked me. And he said, hey, Doug, I'm going to USC, and I want a man like you to go with me because you'd be a good influence on these young college students. Right? You're a witness. People are watching. Have you ever been thrown in a lion's den? Praise God. I'll do whatever God bring it. People know me. You know what? I'm a pastor. I don't even like to tell people I'm a pastor. Because you know what happens as soon as I tell them? They treat me differently. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to say that. I'm out playing golf. This guy ran. Colorful metaphors. Oh, sorry, chaplain. Sorry, pastor. The police department. I get it, guys. Hey. But let me just be me. I'm going to represent Jesus today here in this place. And if you have a problem with that, then I'm going to love you, and I'm going to lead. I'm not going to be a wimp, and I'm not going to be a jerk, but I'm not leaving. I'm a Christian. Have you made that stand? Because until you do, you'll never be a Daniel. Pray for people in government that are willing to take a stand for Christ and to get chewed to pieces because of it. Pray for them. When I read the book of Daniel, I just read and see that God's in control. When I read the book of Daniel, I see that God is up in heaven as a sovereign God that watches over his people, and his plans and his purposes are going to happen. When I read the book of Daniel, I read about a God who cares about people, who cares about himself being made known in the world. When I read the book of Daniel, I read about a historical, real God that does things in amazing supernatural ways. When I read the book of Daniel, I read about it as young people making a stand for the Lord their whole lives and how God blesses them for it, in this life and the next. So much so that 600 years after Daniel was born and died, Jesus speaks of him in his ministry, just as it was said through the prophet Daniel. Just as it was said through the prophet Daniel, Jesus refers to Daniel, the sovereign person of the Lord. The same God of Daniel is here. The same God who would shut the mouths of lions, who would protect his people, the same God who existed 2,600 years ago, the same God who would come to earth and walk on this earth and die on a cross and arise from the dead, the Messiah, the same God of the scriptures is in this room. And the Lord wants you to know this morning that he sees you and that he knows you. The Lord wants you to know this morning that he loves you, that he created you, and God wants you to know that he calls you to himself. And if you're here today on the fringe of faith, Jesus would ask you to step across the line. If you're here today and you're of convenience but not of conviction, Jesus would tell you to seek him deeper and to know him more. We're going to sing two songs this morning in the close of our service. The first song is called In Control, and it's a great song for you and I just to sing and bring declaration to that God is in control of everything. And as the worship team comes up and sings these last two songs, we're going to invite people. This is the last time we're going to do this year. But if there are people in this room that just want prayer, if there are people here today, it says in the Bible that if you desire a special touch from God, if there's something going on in your life, to come and seek out the leaders of the church. And the leaders of the church, our responsibility is to pray over you and to take your requests before God. If you're here today, and there's something in your life that you just want prayer for, we invite you during these next few songs to come up here and receive prayer and let the leaders of the church pray for you. I'm going to ask my wife to come up here and stand with me and ask for Pastor Graham and BJ to come up here in the balcony. We've got Pastor Vince. The Chows are up there. They're amazing people. I want to ask for the Merritts to come up here and pray with today. These are godly people, good people. So this is what's going to happen here. See, our Jesus breaks chains in people's lives. Our Jesus sets prisoners free. Our Jesus heals bodies. Our Jesus does amazing things. Our Jesus is in control. And if you're here today and you need prayer, then we invite you in these next two songs to come forward and receive prayer. And then we're going to dismiss. Okay, so can I have My she's 28 years, Merritts, in the balcony. I think this is good. We're just going to sing, but if you want us to pray with you, we'd be happy to, okay? Lord, you are in control. You are sovereign Almighty God. You are the creator of the ends of the earth. You are sovereign in all your ways. We come before you and we say the name of your Son Jesus this morning. We worship the name of your Son Jesus this morning. We pray and call out to the name of Jesus this morning. I pray, Lord God, that you would touch your people and speak unto their hearts. In your name, amen.